Welcome into another episode of the 615 Sessions podcast. We are patio chilling out here for today's Friday episode while I'm doing a little work for Scoreboard Bar and Grill in Music Valley. But the Titans, they're headed out of Music City. They're headed to Buffalo for a Monday night football game after losing to the New York Giants 21-20 in their season opener. So Johnny Glennon of Sports Illustrated is going to help us understand what went wrong, what Todd Downing said this week, and what the injury report looks like, because that's kind of concerning. And we'll do all of those things right after I remind you that this podcast is always presented by Two Rivers Ford. That's the place that you go for the best car buying experience and for guarantees. It is so difficult to get guarantees of any kind in business today. You don't know what interest rates are going to look like, certainly down the road, and companies in this particular market are not interested in doing so. But that's why Two Rivers Ford is different, among so many other reasons. They're guaranteeing great prices and a locked-in interest rate when you custom order a 2023 model year Ford. When you custom order an F-150, an Explorer, like an OI drive from Two Rivers, a Ranger, Edge, Bronco Sport, Escape, or Mustang, they'll guarantee 2.9% APR for 60 months for all qualified buyers. So you can order now and lock in a great wait when you start paying. That's a great rate, not a great wait. Although that's what I'm working on, 220 by Baltimore and now 200 by Super Bowl. Two Rivers Ford, the best prices and guaranteed rates, all at a locally owned dealership with non-commissioned salespeople. It's like the good old days are still here at Two Rivers Ford. Let's get to Johnny. Welcome into another episode of the 615 Sessions podcast presented by Two Rivers Ford and Superbook Sports. The great John Glennon of Sports Illustrated is here with us today. I am getting ready to ship off for an uncommonly long voyage to somehow get to Buffalo for Monday Night Football, where the Titans will play and try and avoid going down 0-2. Hello, Johnny.
Hello, Buck. How are you?
I'm great. Are you able to hear the live music in the background where I'm at right now?
I cannot get that. Maybe if you hum a few bars for me, you know, perhaps that would get the job done.
So, I mean, Burton has said that there's been media karaoke nights before. I've never gone to one. I hear Kayla Anderson is particularly aggressive with her song choice.
she can brand. We all know about Kayla. There's a lot of energy, a lot of intensity there. Let me tell you, when she took it up on the stage with some black velvet, a very, very strong showing. And I have to say, in addition, that, you know, some people, you know, need a drop or two of alcohol perhaps before they step up on the live stage. Not the case for Kayla, karaoke Kayla. She went up there dry and belted that thing out. So very, very impressive.
Wait, so you were a part of this? Where the hell was my invite?
I don't know. I can't remember what city it was in. It was on the road, but I can't remember what city it was in, and it just seemed like the best idea at the time. And next thing you know, she's up there, and I believe it's still maybe floating around on somebody's video out there somewhere, so maybe we can dig it up.
Well, God knows everything exists in perpetuity on the internet right now. The Titans, speaking of intensity, lack of intensity is probably too harsh an accusation for the way they lost to the Giants, but Johnny, I don't know how you can lose by 1 point to Daniel Jones when he gives you the Daniel Jones interception and expect to manage Josh Allen with just how many like fundamental mistakes their defense made, which is not something we're accustomed to seeing.
Yeah. You know, and it was talked about again today was those X plays, you know, the obviously the two big Barkley runs and the long touchdown pass to Sterling Shepard. It was pretty much either led to or accounted for all three of the Giants touchdowns. And that's one thing that the Titans have been good against over the years is not giving up those kind of X plays. And for instance, the one to Christian Fulton, you know, we talked to him about it. And then today we talked to Shane Bowen about it. And it's pretty much as simple as, you know, he kind of got lulled to sleep a little bit on the play, you know, was spending too much time looking in the backfield as opposed to maintaining a presence with the receiver. And automatically you start to think at this point, you say, wow, if that's happening with Sterling Shepard and Daniel Jones, you know, what might be the concern this week? You know, when you're going up against Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, there clearly have to be some changes in those X plays, because that proved to be the biggest single difference in the game.
Well, the way that, like, I looked at it after everybody got through, you know, fire Todd Downing, four straight days of sports talk radio, fire Todd Downing, Mike Vrabel must not rely on talent if he's using Todd Downing as an OC, which was a particularly vicious call from a lovely woman named Sue Ann. But I think that it's like, it's such trash to put all of that on Todd in a way that, like, he becomes the face of it the same way that Shane Bowen did in 2020 with the defense. I'm sure he has his role to play. I don't know how exactly much that turned with the third and one Chig end around that we'll talk about, I'm sure, because Todd was asked about it today. But I guess, Johnny, when I talked to Greg Cosell about it, I just felt like the Giants had the Derrick Henry game with explosive plays in the rushing attack, and the Titans didn't. And that really was the only difference to me, other than Randy missing the field goal at the end, which of course matters. But I didn't feel as terrible as it felt like everybody else wanted me to feel about the way that they lost.
I agree too. Where, you know, if Randy Bullock makes a field goal that he certainly made in the past, you know, we're all of a sudden talking about, hey, look, Ryan Tannehill has done it again. He's led a game-winning drive, as he has very often over the years, that the Titans adapted to a new set of receivers pretty well in the passing game, you know, and that even though it was too close, okay, you know, here are your Titans 1-0. However, obviously not the situation, and now you find yourself looking at that running game, I think, in particular, and I've said it before, you know, what come to mind for me with Derrick Henry in the run game against the Giants, the word was average, you know, and that is not a word that we use very often with Derrick Henry and the Titans running game. There was one run over 10 yards. That was it. It was an 18-yard run. And, you know, Derrick Henry talked today about the fact that he had more opportunities. He agreed with Mike Vrabel that there was meat left on the bone in the running game. You know, he said there were a couple of times where he felt like he was trying to hit a home run instead of kind of trying to take, you know, what was available. So I think that was certainly an issue there. And I also still have to think that maybe, you know, Derrick Henry is a guy so self-critical, you know, of himself, that maybe he put such expectations on himself in this, the first regular season game back for him in quite a long time. Maybe he felt like that extra need to make that splash, to make that big run. And I think he was a little impatient at times. So maybe we see that change just a little bit going into week two.
You mean to tell me that Derrick Henry has actual human qualities that would prevent him from being exceptional at all times, despite his physical cyborg build?
It would seem, you know, but again, I think a lot of things played a part in that too. And you know, I'm with you, you know, you can't all of a sudden, you know, string up Todd Downing out of nowhere, but at the same time, you wonder if maybe going forward, they can help Derrick Henry out just a little bit. I think, you know, when we look back at the numbers, I think it was about 2/3 out of those first down plays were first down runs to Derrick Henry. You know, and certainly the Giants were keying on that. I think there's probably a big reason for that. Derrick Henry was the Titans' known quantity on offense. And you know, the Titans didn't really know what they had in the passing game going into the first week as well. But I do think there has to be a little bit of change going forward because if you look at some of those clips, you know, from Derrick Henry running, you know, there's not a lot of room in the box and you know, there's not a lot of room for Derrick Henry to find holes either.
Well, I mean, I'm blanking on the defensive tackle from Clemson's name that was taken a couple of picks before Jeffrey Simmons in that 19th draft. Dexter Lawrence and Leonard Williams are like decent NFL players. So it's reasonable to expect that the Giants had a plan to key off Derrick Henry, as most NFL defenses typically do. I think, though, for me, Johnny, kind of going back to the Downing thing and the first and 10 predictability of Derrick, you say that the Titans didn't necessarily know what they had in the passing game until you see it in live game action. And Tannehill didn't play in the preseason. But like, I mean, Johnny, I feel like I knew what they had on offense, at least in the passing game after training camp. We watched Tannehill and these guys enough. I know there's not live rushers around him, but still, can I not be confident that Austin Hooper is going to be, and I know you wrote about this at SI.com, can I not be confident in Ryan Tannehill's connection with Austin Hooper and Robert Woods? Because we've seen it for 2.5 months at this point.
Well, that was what was interesting, yeah, to me. And as you noted, I did write about that. But, you know, three of the guys, to me, that were counted on for significant passing contributions, you know, you trade for Robert Woods, you sign Hooper during the offseason to be your number one tight end, and really Nick Westbrook-Ikhina is your most reliable guy coming back from last year. And you look at those three guys, and they wind up with three catches for 32 yards, and you're kind of, you know, scratching your head a little bit. Now, on the other hand, you know, you were throwing to Kyle Phillips, who had six catches and 66 yards, you know, and maybe some of the other guys. Traylon Burks showed some potential as well.
Well, and Hilliard is a receiver.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They schemed him up well, you know, for those two touchdown passes also. But at the same time, to me, if you know, there's a reason you're bringing in those guys from outside. We saw what appeared to be pretty good chemistry forming between Ryan Tannehill and these players in training camp. So, as I say, it was a little puzzling to me. You look at Robert Woods' numbers, and of course, he was playing in a completely different system in L.A., but this guy's a workhorse. You know, I mean, the number of catches he's had over the years, you know, I this was in my story, too. He had 34 straight games of a minimum of two catches, and all of a sudden, poof. You know, that came to an
Welcome
end.
Welcome to the Titans, buddy.
Yeah, that's right. All of a sudden that ends in the season opener. So, I mean, you have to think that they'll find ways to get those guys more involved starting this week in Buffalo.
Is this like a Vrabel hangup? Because, like, you asked him about the predictability on first and 10, Johnny, and, like, his answer was different than Todd's was today, at least the portion of the Todd press conference that I heard on the radio show, where Mike's talking about, well, we don't necessarily, like, scheme things up to get guys go. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but we don't necessarily scheme things up to get guys going that way. We run our offense. We expect the players on the field to execute our offense. It's not about production from X, Y, and Z. It's about the production of the sum of the parts once they're out on the field together and Cody Hollister for 22 yards. And everybody, you know, looks at Cody Hollister and says, what the hell is this? And what is this personnel package? When I think they're just trying to run as many plays out of similar sets as humanly possible so that there's always the threat of Cody Hollister for 22 yards or something like that. But at a certain point, the offense hasn't changed really since Matt LaFleur. Like, it's the same basic fundamental outside zone running concepts, play action pass. The quarterback has, and they've gotten better incrementally, but it just feels like this is the way that Vrabel wants them to play.
I would agree with you to a large extent. And that's kind of the way I tried to phrase the question to Mike Vrabel the other day was, you know, I asked, you know, do you feel like, you know, the critique of being too predictable is accurate or is it only accurate if that offense isn't productive? Like, you know, because as you said, they've been running the same offense and certainly 2019, 2020, this was one of the best offenses in the game. And there haven't been radical changes there outside of obviously this year, no AJ Brown. But it's hard to complain now all of a sudden about running Derrick Henry a lot on first downs. You know, I don't have the exact numbers, but I would think they're probably very, very similar in 2019, 2020, when Derrick Henry is putting up big yards, even though he's running on first down a lot, you know, and the Titans are having success on play action as well. You did mention the personnel as well. And I think what the Titans do at times is they, you know, they'll try to surprise teams by going with that running personnel and opting for a pass instead. Sometimes that works, sometimes not so well. And I think, you know, the one that came to mind for me, you know, red zone, third down against the Giants, and they've got the traditional running personnel package in there. You know, I know Swain was in there. I think Torrey Carter was in there as well. And instead of the run of Derrick Henry, all of a sudden you got Tannehill rolling out. Really looked like very few options available to him in the end zone. And then winds up throwing late to Derrick Henry, and the play just kind of fizzles, and it winds up being a field goal instead. So it's one thing to say, hey, we're gonna run this same personnel and surprise people from time to time, you know, when we pass. It's another thing to actually execute that, because obviously when you have the run people in there, they're more accustomed to running themselves, and it turns out sometimes the passes don't work as well.
Yeah, and I think that it would be curious to see, and I'm sure some exceptional writer, perhaps one at SI.com, will go back and look at things like Derrick Henry's success rate on first and 10 throughout the years. But you're probably right. At least it seems that they continue to operate this way. And it's not like the whole reason Vrabel was hired is because the last coaching staff didn't seem terribly willing to adapt. And I know that's not the exclusive reason why Mike Mularkey and Terry Robiskie aren't here anymore. But it's the closest thing we've had or feel to it from the fans since then, even if the offense is markedly better now than it was during that time period. But beyond that, like, I guess, Johnny, I'm not overwhelmingly concerned about the offense after 1 week. What I am concerned about is the fact that when you look at the five sacks that they got, it's coming almost exclusively from pressures from the inside from Jeff Simmons, that the other guys on the outside are cleaning up. They're not necessarily getting great edge rush without Harold, who is, of course, their best pass rusher, even though Bud Dupree's pretty good and Weaver did well to finish up plays the way that they need him to. Heading into Buffalo, it's different because not only do they rush with four, or last year when we saw them, they would do things like drop Harold into coverage, send David Long, drop Harold into coverage, send Elijah Molden. Elijah Molden's not available either, and Ugo Amadi's been playing the slot. They're probably going to look to do something similar with those zone exchange pressures, but it's not lost on me that their tackling and run defense was substantially worse without Harold in the different places that they put him on the field.
Yeah, I agree completely, you know, I think that long Saquon Barkley run that really started the second half for the Giants was a good example there. You know, I think there was two or three missed tackles in that regard. You know, the one that stands out actually was over towards the edge. He managed to get the edge in the first place, which sometimes Harold Landry is a big boost to. And then he gets around Amani Hooker and boom. He's up the field and galloping away at that point. And even when you look at the something as simple as the 2-point conversion, you know, by Saquon Barkley. Now, I'm not saying all of this is related to Harold Landry, but we're talking about tackling too. Sure. To me, you know, yeah, I thought that David Long, you know, had maybe a shot at Saquon Barkley on that play. And certainly a couple of cornerbacks, namely McCreary, had a pretty decent chance at him too, and just weren't able to take down a bigger back in that kind of situation. So, and then, yeah, when you get to the pass rush too, yeah, I think, you know, this to me is really where Bud Dupree is going to have to show, hey, this is why the Titans signed me to an $82.5 million contract. You know, this is my year. The ACL situation is a year further removed now. He's got to make some noise. When it comes to getting after the quarterback and he's become the leader certainly in that department now that Harold Landry is out, and we know how important it is to get a little bit of pressure anyway on Josh Allen this week, so certainly will be a factor.
I feel like the analysis all week long has largely been, yeah, they lost to the Giants, but they beat the Bills all the time and they win these games that they have no business winning. And you know, that's all well and good. Like there's evidence to that effect, but I don't know. At some point the dam has to break. Like, I don't think the Bills are as overwhelming as they looked in the Thursday night opener of the NFL season against the Rams in LA. And I more often than not certainly trust the Titans coaching staff to put the roster in a position to succeed in a game like this. But it doesn't make sense for me to default to that, Johnny, like gut feeling type analysis, when everything to the contrary, every time these teams play, is that the Bills should have the upper hand. And honestly, could well have. Was Jeff Simmons not the best thing that they do? Bear hug Josh Allen on 4th and 1. It's literally decided by that much.
Yeah, I agree. Now, you know, we've talked all week about a couple of things, you know, how well the Titans generally bounce back from losses, and two, how the Titans thrive in the underdog roles. You know, and obviously you don't have to look too far back to see examples of both. You know, hammered in the season opener last year against Arizona, what do? They go out to a tough place to play. They go into Seattle and they come out with a W out there. A few weeks later, you know, they lose to the Jets. You know, again, we're like, oh my goodness, what's going on? Well, they respond to that, I believe, with six straight wins after that. And that was when they had an incredible run of beating, you know, Kansas City and Buffalo and the
part
Rams.
Of the schedule we thought they had no shot in.
Exactly, as well. All that said, I kind of tend to look at things a little bit the way you do here. And you know, Buffalo is the team I picked to win the Super Bowl. I'm one of 10 million people to pick the Bills to win the Super Bowl this year. And you just look at so much, you know, most teams you want to say, okay, boy, you really got to look at this offense. It is something else. Or, wow, what a defense this team has. It's kind of hard with the Bills because you can go both ways. You know, it's like the first thing you think of course, is Josh Allen and Diggs and Allen and Dawson Knox and, you know, Isaiah McKenzie and on and on. And then they put up incredible points, but you kind of forget this was the number one defense in the league last year. Then you add Von Miller to that. You get some bigger guys in the middle like Daquan Jones, you know, the former Titans defender. And all of a sudden you're rolling out a defense like they did against the Rams, seven sacks, 15 quarterback hits. And I'm pretty sure they never blitzed in that game was the stat that came to mind. Yeah. So when you look at all that, boy, as much as I agree about the Titans bouncing back and liking being the underdog, it's tough to you know, just as you say, kind of default and saying, oh yeah, they're gonna do it again this week. I think that challenge may wind up being just a little bit too much. We'll see.
I'm looking forward to seeing. I've never been to Buffalo before, so I'm looking forward to seeing what that looks like in a primetime game and a bunch of, you know, God knows what they're consuming. Bills fans are running through card tables and things of that nature. Perhaps I'll join them in the pregame, John. I haven't decided.
That to me is I can see you doing that, Buck. That to me is a very, very Buck Rising situation. Perhaps, you know, soaking in the environment. And so to share with your listeners back home.
Soaking or sopping it up, depending on the depending on the context. Yeah, Jimmy Wyatt went on that Tighten Up podcast that we have on A to Z, Johnny, and talked about how drunk I was the first couple of years that I was working on this beat. So it's not lost on me that the audience just thinks I'm kind of a lush at this point.
And if I may be so bold as to share something personal, you mentioned before we got on, you get it, the doubleheader this weekend, Buck, of two of the most interesting cities in the U.S. Not only do you get Buffalo, but you will get Detroit in a span of a few days this weekend. So you some might say you might need a couple of beverages to help.
I think there will be some consumed between now and Monday Night Football. In the meantime, while I'm consuming beverages, you should be reading SI.com, where John Glennon and David Beauclair do great work. Johnny, you have a podcast on the Bleav Network as well that I know you guys do on a weekly basis. Yes,
that is correct. Yep.
And the name David of the podcast?
It is Bleav in Titans. Yeah. And it's David Beauclair and former Titans defensive back, Denard Walker, and myself, and we've enjoyed it. You know, we just started this year and we've been having some good lively debates on there. Usually during the season, it's going to start posting on Monday nights, you know, so Monday night or Tuesday morning, give us a listen if you can.
Subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Thank you, Johnny.
Okay, thank you, Buck.
All right, wrapping things up on the way out the door. Obviously, a couple more days as we're taping this on a Friday evening before the Titans will head up north. I'm heading out right after we wrap up this podcast. Got a quick flight to Detroit, like Johnny mentioned. I got a wedding this weekend. So from Nashville to Detroit, Detroit to Buffalo, and on to Monday Night Football from there. The primetime show will happen on Sunday night, not Monday night, because, of course, we'll be working the game, and we'll make our way back Tuesday after radio. In the meantime, you need to be betting on all the NFL games, including the Titans and the Bills. Whether it's NFL, college football, any major sport, baseball, if you're somebody who's still paying attention to that before the postseason gets underway, Superbook Sports is your place to wager this football season. You can wager on football and any other major sport in the Superbook Sports app. Real simple. You download the app, bring Vegas to the palm of your hand, you make your first bet, up to $1,000 scoreboard bar, or rather, Superbook will match it up to $1,000, whether the bet wins or loses as we sit here at Scoreboard Bar and Grill. Superbook Sports, terms and conditions, go to superbook.com. Gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Well, I'm going to enjoy the rest of this weather. I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend and that for the sake of your well-being, your football team delivers in a big spot on Monday night. Talk to you guys next Friday.